talked in the past about a missing middle class and how that affects teams.
Yeah.
It seems like this year your middle class was smaller and the team got younger. Do you think at a time like this it's especially noticeable?
Deep thoughts. Wow. Can I talk about Tennessee? Yeah, right. I don't know. I guess I haven't thought about it in that respect, but certainly I agree with the concept that the middle class is kind of shrunk in the NFL, so you have your guys in the second contract that are kind of your superstars, and you don't get those veterans that are role players anymore. Teams would rather fill their roster with role players who are rookies because they're cheaper in the hopes that those rookies will turn into superstars if you just give them experience.
So I know you're not. You always talk about quarterbacks and you're not an expert, and you said it takes time for a rookie quarterback. But I'm curious, do you see kind of the intangibles out of Deshaun, even though he goes through the benching and then comes back this week, that you like to see out of a young quarterback?
No doubt. I think he's got the mentality to handle the pressure and the stress of being a quarterback. Clearly, he's a really smart player. I think he's probably picked up on things way faster than most rookie quarterbacks. He's obviously got the physical skills as far as arm strength and the ability to throw the ball where he needs to. So for him, I think it's just a matter of getting that experience.
Jarrell Casey, I think you said sometimes he's unblockable. What makes him that way, and how's he look this year?
Well, for a big man, he's extraordinarily quick. He's got a great ability to move laterally quickly and sort of teleport from one spot to the next right when you think you're about to block him. He's almost a little bit like J.J. Watt. We've seen J.J. Watt use that swim move, sort of that Olay technique, and that's what you get a lot from Jarrell. I mean, he's as a big guy, you really have to try to get low and put a lot of force into your block if you want to move him. But then right when you do that, he's quick enough to avoid you and sort of knock you off balance. And then he's got the burst and the speed to get back to the quarterback in his rush lane. So he's, in my opinion, one of the best three-technique defensive tackles in the NFL.
So you've been on teams here. The only round ball in the most mini team.
Yeah.
And then you've been on the opposite.
Yeah.
Third in the league and pass the center.
Yeah.
Are you at all frustrated with the inconsistency about the running game? Not so much the performance of it, but calling on it.
Well, I think as offensive linemen, you're always going to hear us say we want to run the ball more. You know, we're like running backs in a lot of respects where you can never run the ball enough in our minds. So, sure, in the perfect world, we'd love to run the ball consistently. But I think realistically in the NFL, you've got to be able to throw to score points. And then you can run in the fourth quarter, in the second half, to basically expire the clock and maintain your lead. And especially if it's efficient, it's great. You can wear the defense down. You can take pressure off of your own defense. But I think Hugh understands that you're not going to win a Super Bowl just by running the football. You have to develop your passing game if you want to be a legitimate team that can win week in and week out. And, you know, just because you're efficient running the ball or you think you have a good running team doesn't really even necessarily make you a really good offense. And I think what we're trying to build is a good offense. And so you can't always just lay your hat on what you're doing well or what your strengths are. And you've got to build and work on your weaknesses, even though sometimes growing pains are tough.
Is it harder to run the ball in the red zone or pass
the ball? It all depends on the type of defense you're playing against. I would say sometimes it's harder to pass the ball because obviously you've got the end line there. You can't run deep down the field to vertically stretch the secondary, the coverage. But with that being said, defenses are able to tighten up in the box to take away the run and make you throw it because they know you can't throw it down the field because of the end line. So I guess it could be either or.
Is it a whole different world down there when you get inside the 20?
It is, because typically your call sheets change, the plays you're calling change, defensive tendencies change, what they're going to run changes. You look at a team like New England where they really don't care how many yards they give up. It's all about points. So they're going to be really soft in most of the field, and they'll take their chances so they can't be predictable. But when you get in that red zone, they've got a really tight plan to keep you from scoring touchdowns and then to try to keep you just far enough out of field goal range where you can't kick a field goal and score 3 points. So really red zone offense and defense is kind of where you make your money in the NFL. And a lot of defenses are all totally set up and predicated on how they want to handle the red zone.
So in the Houston game, it's 10-3, and you guys are moving the ball, and you hand it off 5 straight times to get inside the red zone, and that's where the interception
Is.
I mean, are you guys, as a line, thinking, we got it going now, let's just finish the job?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because even though you have 40 seconds between plays, it's the shortest 40 seconds in sports in my mind as a lineman, because as soon as that play's over, you're getting back to the huddle, and then it's about 25 or so. And then I'm watching the defense to see if they substitute, if they're bringing in big people, if they're taking any of their big guys out, if they're putting different pass rushers in. So my mind is kind of focused on the defense, seeing what they're doing. Usually I'm trying to watch what happened on the play before so I get some in-game corrections for myself, say, okay, you know, we got hit with that. We're going to have to adjust our protection, or me personally, oh, my technique was bad on that play, or it was good, or what did that guy do to me? And all of a sudden the quarterback comes in the huddle and calls the play. And then now you're thinking, what happens with that next play? You're getting to the line of scrimmage, and you're thinking about all the what-ifs that could happen in that play. So you don't really have that time that maybe a fan would to think about, oh, this is the play you should call here, or that's what we should do. And so you don't really think about, you know, the play call really until probably, you know, the next Monday. And I think it's important no matter what to have balance, because even if you are a good running team, if you just – all the time run the ball, then teams are going to take that away, and then what are you left with if you've never developed your passing game?
When you say it depends what they're doing defensively in terms of what's better,
yeah.
Is there a point an offense can get to, though, where it says, this is what we do, you got to stop?
Yeah, you can get to that. I think it's easier in the passing game because a well-thrown ball and a route that's run properly is impossible to defend, whereas in the run game, it's much easier to take away what you're trying to do. You can always run a safety in there or a corner or some type of blitz to take things away. You know, if you got Barry Sanders there and he's just a human joystick running around, then that's a little different story when he's just evading people. But as far as how things are schematically drawn up, you can take away the run game with your assignments and your defenses. But in the passing game, it's hard to just eliminate that. That's why quarterbacks are so important. That's why having a good passing game is the difference between, you know, being a Super Bowl contender and just not. I mean, there's teams in the NFL that can't throw the ball and that have good running games, and they're not Super Bowl contenders. They're not really – they might sneak into the playoffs and get a win, but eventually they're going to run into a team that has a good defense that can stop their run, and then that can also throw it to score points on the other end. And that's why I think if you look back at the last many, many, many years, every team that's won has had a good passing game, except for maybe the Ravens back in the 2000s, and they had one of the best defenses of all time. And so if you're able to put 7 Hall of Famers on your defense, yeah, you don't need to develop your passing game. But other than that, other than the exception, you really need to have a strong passing game.
We've gotten used to seeing you practice on Thursdays.
This year.
Part of the routine now that –
Yeah, I think, you know, as the season wears on, some games you're going to come out a little bit more sore, and you're going to need one extra day to kind of get back to health and give yourself the best chance to feel acceptable on Sunday. So it's a one-week-at-a-time analysis, but this week we felt Thursday having one extra day inside to prepare and get back out there full go on Friday.
Just a couple more.
Other side of the ball, but McCourty's just kind of come in here. It seems like he's fit in right away, locker room, and playing at a really high level. How impressed have you been with him and what he's brought?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems to have done a great job. Obviously, he's a smart guy that's played a lot of NFL football. He's a natural leader, and I think he's been a huge benefit for our defense.
Well, this is looking ahead, so I apologize, but given what you said about the struggle with pain through the year and being sore, are you like dreading that plane flight to London?
Well, I think everyone is, because it's an overnight flight and we're going to get up and go right to practice. So 8 hours on a flight is not ideal for anybody, really. But hopefully I've put in enough time that I'm going to be in first class and I'll have enough room to stretch out a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Jimmy, do you hear that? Yeah, I sleep really well on planes. Planes and cars, I'm out right away. So I'm not worried about the sleep.